Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and today I am joined by a very special guest. He is a man who started life as a journalist and then he's moved into radio. He's worked for different networks. He's all over the media landscape. It's Tom Forbes. How are you doing today, Tom?
Really good, Goff, and thanks for having me.
Well, my pleasure. Now, am I correct? Did you start your professional career as a journalist?
I did. My first job as a journalist was with Wind Television in Townsville. I was 24 years old. I came into journalism late. I did a few other things before I went to university. I was a jackaroo. I was a bobcat driver on a construction site. I worked in a pub in London. I used to labour in the UK as well, carrying gyprock up flights of stairs. I've got big shoulders. But then I realised when I was in my early 20s that I needed to get a degree. So I went to uni, studied journalism and got my first job up north.
Cool. Now, the reason how Tom and I first came to meet each other was many years ago when I was doing stand-up comedy. Tom did a story for me for, I believe, the Nine Network. And then when Beer Nuts Productions kicked off, Tom very kindly did another story for me, this time for the ABC. So my question to you, Tom, is when you haven't covered Beer Nuts Productions, any career highlights?
Besides you?
Besides me. That's why I wanted to specify.
Oh, look, I get this question all the time. What are the biggest stories you've ever covered? And I guess the ones that popped to mind when I was a young journalist was the Bali bombings. We had a lot of Gold Coasters involved in that. The 2011 floods in Brisbane, that was one of the bigger ones. It sort of went on like Blue Hills with, you know, flooding and people losing their homes. More recently was the Dreamworld disaster, the four people that died on the Thunder River Rapids ride. But I've got to say, they're not the stories I enjoy. It's the stories that I enjoy are the ones where it's about a person. It's about someone doing something special. And I still remember doing a story with you way, way back in the day because you were such a good person to work with. And it was a great story. So it was you making a film. And, you know, of course, the pitch or the hook was the vision-impaired filmmaker, which was the hook to get me into the story to sell it to my boss. And I thought we did a pretty good job. We had fun with it, a bit of humour as well. So it's ones like that that I really actually enjoy doing more than the big stuff.
Well, if people actually go to the Beer Nuts Productions YouTube channel, they can still see that story because I got myself a copy. And so, yes, if people do go to the Beer Nuts Productions YouTube channel and they scroll through all the videos because it's many years ago now we did that.
But we had hair then, Goff. We had hair.
Well, I didn't. I've always been bald ever since I was born. So now, but in more recent times, you've made the transition to breakfast radio.
Yeah, I have.
So why did you do that, Tom? Well, you'd like getting up at 3 a.m?
No, I don't actually. It's 3:30, the alarm goes off. So what happened was I've been doing news for years and I was in the newsroom at the ABC on the Gold Coast and myself and Nicole Dyer, who was the presenter, used to have some banter in the kitchen at lunchtime. I'd put her down and harass her a bit around the office and the boss said, actually, you two got some pretty good chemistry. We should put you two together for breakfast. Are you keen? And of course I was, because I was happy to have the change. Nicole was up for it as well.
Why were you happy to have the change?
Just because I've been doing news for 20 years and, you know, the working in a newsroom, it's a bit of a grind. It's like making sausages, you know, you finish one story, move on to the next one. So to move into radio programs, you could be a bit more of yourself. You could have a mild opinion. You can't have too much of an opinion at the ABC, but you could put a bit of light and shade into the stories you covered. And that's what I really enjoyed.
Okay, cool. Now, does it frustrate you? Because obviously, as you said, you've got a co-host that you've got to work with and you've got a producer. So you can't actually, you can suggest content that you want to cover and think people you want to talk to and whatnot, but you know, you don't have the final say. Is that sometimes, and obviously they're going to come to you and say, Tom, you're interviewing Harry Jones this morning. And you're like, I really don't like Harry Jones, but too bad, you got to talk to him. So does that frustrate you sometimes that you don't have creative control of your own program?
You got to collaborate. As a journalist, you still have to sell your stories to your chief of staff or the producer. So you've in that industry, you've always got to bounce ideas off other people. In radio particularly, you've got to be able to sell your story. So if you don't believe in what you're talking about, then you are in trouble. So I've had to really learn to, you know, try and find the nub of the interesting story so that I can attach my emotion to that. And just to be clear before we move on, Nicole and I did breakfast radio, and now we were separated recently. She's got breast cancer. Now, this is a bit of a downer, but she's got breast cancer. She's okay. So I've been filling in for her while she's been getting chemotherapy. But when she comes back, which she did recently, it's her gig, and I've now moved into more of a roving reporter, fill-in presenter. So today I was actually doing the morning show, not breakfast show. So I'm still in and out of the programs, but I'm back doing a bit of other stuff as well.
Dude, well, how do you find that? Like, does that... Do you find that a bit, a bit frustrating because you all of a sudden you're doing this and then you're doing that and then they're saying, you're going to talk to this bloke, Tom, and now you're on at midday talking to that guy and now you're tomorrow morning you're on at 6 talking to that dude. Like, is it your brain exploding?
Well, literally, as I was walking out the door today to come and do this with you, the boss said that the mornings guy is sick again tomorrow. Can you do mornings, which I'm happy to do. So it's choppy changey, but I've got to be honest, I actually like the change. It's like you can't really invest yourself in any one particular area consistently, but it's nice to do other things as well. So I'm not going to complain because if you're stuck doing the same job too often, it can get a bit tiring. So I love the variety.
Now, you have worked for a lot of local stations, whether it be TV journalism, and also obviously the ABC that you work for at the moment is local radio ABC. Should there be more local content, generally speaking?
Yes, in a word. I've been watching for years the dwindling of regional journalism. It's quite sad, but it is the way it is going. So to give you an example, back in the old days, when I first started the ABC, it would be nothing for us to turn up to a press conference in Brisbane and have an ABC cameraman, an ABC TV reporter, an ABC radio news reporter, and a radio current affairs reporter. So that's 4 ABC people at the one press conference. These days, you'll get a video journalist. One person will turn up. They'll have a camera. They'll set it up themselves. They'll record the audio on their phone for radio. They'll send it all back. They'll take photos on their phone. Then they'll race back to the office, file the radio, do up a TV story as well as also doing a digital story. So they're getting more bang from their buck from the journos, but we are becoming few and far between.
Well, does that create worse stories because old mate's now got to do 5 jobs instead of one?
It gives you less variety. So you've got one reporter filing for 4 different platforms. So it's the same story in a different digestible way. But to be honest, it is. Like, it does, because you can't do anything well. You can do everything as best you can. But in the old days, if you had one TV story to do that day, you would throw your whole day into that. But now you've got to chop it up and do, you know, spend 3 or 4 hours on the TV story, you know, 45 minutes on the radio story and 2 hours on the digital story. And that's how it works. And it's just, you know, churn it out, move on to the next one.
So how do we fix that problem?
That's a question that's hard to answer. Your commercial newspapers, your Gold Coast Bulletins, your News Limited have got a paywall now, so that is slowly starting to take effect. So they are gaining revenue from people who are paying for news. But I think the parish pump news, the really, really local stuff, like, you know, a cat up a tree and at the back of Burley Waters, a lot of that is covered by social media. So, you know, someone will snap a photo of their cat up a tree and say, I need help to get this cat down. And a lot of us professional journalists will use that as a way to get into the story. We'll often post that on our ABC Facebook page. But that parish pump smaller story definitely is being covered more by Joe Blow with a phone in his pocket.
So going to it a bit further, the nationalisation of media, do you think that's, I'm guessing by your tone that you don't think that's a good thing? You would prefer there to be a more localised and generalised sort of coverage of things, and that things can get, because I mean, things can get missed as well. Like if there's a, let's say, for example, obviously purely an example, if there's a dodgy council member, they're less likely to have a journalist dive deep into what they're doing because there's no journalist there to cover it.
Yeah, the fourth estate or journalism does struggle in that sort of mid-range. So your parish pump stuff, the cat up a tree, I mean, it's not going to change anyone's life. It's interesting. But your mid-level stuff, your council corruption, covering courts in regional areas is definitely being affected. Capital cities are still reasonably well-resourced, although they are under pressure. But to be fair, the ABC is really focused on its regional bureaus because basically there's not many other organisations out there with soldiers to put on the ground, whereas the ABC is government-funded and it's politically very smart to have regional areas covered because for example, you get your federal politicians out west or up north, they need their ABC because it's the only radio station they can tune into. It's where they get their news, and it's really, really important. So the ABC is cognizant of that and does spend a large percentage of its budget on regional. And thank God the Gold Coast is considered regional, even though we are the sixth biggest city in Australia.
Well, how about then? So here's something that just occurred to me while listening to your answer. So you're quite right. Politicians require news, right? So they can get their story out there. I'm investing in this piece of infrastructure in this place, right? But they fund the ABC. So, like, I mean, my point being is surely it's in their best interests to provide the ABC with as much funding as possible so they can cover their story, and they're probably ABC is more likely to play nice because so everybody can play nice together. That's probably not, you know, ethically correct, but you understand where I'm going.
I know what you're saying. So, for example, as I mentioned before, regional politicians can see the value in the ABC because if you are a politician in Longreach, you will have an ABC bureau that has a journalists in the newsroom. You'll have presenters on their local radio programs. You'll have video journalists. Your FM radio station, which is probably the only other media organisation or maybe an online publication, they'll be lucky to have a journalist in Longreach at all. So the only coverage, the only soldiers on the ground in a lot of those areas are the ABC. So it is politically smart for regional politicians to support their ABC. But what you find is that the ABC comes under a lot of scrutiny from a particular side of politics. am I leaning to the right? And of course, big city politicians where there is a dearth of media as well.
Yeah, so just going into what I'm saying, so like I just find it, it's almost like it's, they're fighting against them. They want coverage and then they cut funding so they can't get coverage. It just seems like they're not helping themselves.
Well, the ABC hasn't had funding cut. We've had it frozen, so there's no sort of CPI growth. But it's $1 billion a year the ABC gets, so it's not chump change, but it's a big organisation. I think there's more than 3,000 employees. So in the 20 years I've been there, or near on 20 years, like I said before, one person can now do four people's jobs because of technology changes, because of better training. And we used to have a thing we used to call silos in the ABC. So somebody worked in ABC Radio News did their thing. Someone who worked in TV news did their thing. Someone who worked in radio programs did their thing. So they've knocked the silo walls down. We all work together a lot better now, and we do collaborate a lot more as well.
And also, I should just point out for those people who are listening overseas, the ABC, I mean, the English equivalent would be the BBC,
yes.
NPR in America. So it's the government's, it stands for the Australian Broadcasting Commission. It does TV, it does radio, and it does obviously online digital format as well, just so people are understanding of what we're talking about.
We're the BBC of Australia, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
The national broadcaster, impartial. We have a code of ethics we have to follow, even though we are criticised from time to time. I think, on the whole, ABC journalists tread a very central line. We don't go one way or the other, although you can sit around a dinner party and argue about that all night.
And people do.
And they do, including my parents.
Are they happy that you work for the ABC?
Oh, look, they're proud of me.
Okay.
Yeah, of course they are. do they criticise the ABC? Yeah, they do, but I've said to a lot of people. But, you know, Andy's got a big following as well.
So if you were, like, let's say Tom Forbes was the boss man and he had a blank checkbook and an open slather to do whatever he wanted, what would you do to the ABC? How would you improve the ABC? What would you do?
Wow, that's a question I didn't see coming, Gough. What would Tom Forbes do if he was the chairman of the ABC? I'd spend more money on training. I think that's one thing the ABC, even though they do have a budget for training, that's one thing that hasn't really sort of kept pace. It's now you get thrown into a job and you sort of pick it up as you go. But stylistically and ethically, there are some areas where I think the ABC could be better with prepping staff before they put them on the ground. Technology-wise, the ABC is quite good, so I would be quite happy with that.
You got a blank checkbook, remember?
I know, Goff. I was going to buy us all a European sports car, but I better not go down that road. Look, that's a hard one because I don't want to be critical of the ABC. I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me because I do think that we do a lot of things well. But
I'm not meaning in that way. I'm meaning you've got open slather to. It's not so much you're criticising. It's more that if we could do this and these are great things that we could do. What are some great things that the ABC could do that they currently don't? Maybe.
All right, I'll go on the micro level. ABC Gold Coast. We've got about 15 staff that work out of a very small building in Mermaid Beach. It's served its purpose for a long, long time, but we've got two unisex toilets between 15 people. We've got nowhere to have our breakfast or lunch apart from at your desk or at a table outside in the sun. So that's one area I would look at is the bricks and mortar of ABC Gold Coast.
Okay.
Does that get me out of trouble?
Not really.
It probably got me in trouble, but anyway.
I was more hoping for something more, substantial, have more...
What would you do? Tell me what you'd do if you had a blank checkbook for the ABC.
What I would do, seriously?
Yeah.
I would look at their TV coverage. I would make less news and I would put more entertainment. I'd spend money on Australian film. Why the ABC doesn't fund Australian film is a mystery because, I mean... The ABC is all about Australian content. Isn't film a great way to show Australian content? I would spend money on film because Screen Australia I don't have a lot of love for, so I would take them out of the equation and give all the Screen Australia money to the ABC to make movies. I think they could do... I mean, the only, in my opinion, I love Sean McAuliffe. I think he's brilliant. I think there's other Sean McAuliffes out there who deserve half an hour a week. I think there's tons of awesome stuff I could do if I was in charge of the ABC.
I like what you're saying. From the production side of things for drama and comedy, I think that the ABC could do better in that space. And I noticed a lot of it is co-productions these days, isn't it? Like co-funded by the ABC in a production house and they sort of marry themselves to an overseas...
Screen New South Wales and all that sort of stuff. You see on the credits, a lot of Screen Australia work does go on the ABC. But, I mean, there's no reason... In my opinion, there's no reason why the ABC, I know they don't have the money for it, but there's no reason why they could, well, there is because I just said they don't have the money for it. But you know what I'm trying to say? I think there's tons of more content that they could produce if available. I think it's in the government's best interest because they're putting more Australians to work.
Yep. I'll just make one more point, and this is fact. Audiences for television, traditional television, are shrinking, and the ABC is aware of that. Same with radio as well. That's why so many resources are now going into the digital space.
Yeah, but they can put it on both. There's nothing to say they can't have it. They can't have a film on their TV and on their iView.
That's true. That is true. But digital content I'm talking about, especially from a news perspective where I work and that's my realm, you can get... you can publish a story on the news and get maybe, I don't know, what is it, 100,000 people in Brisbane will watch it. You can publish it on radio, and I'm not sure what the figures are, but maybe 80,000 people on the Gold Coast will listen to it. But you can put the same story on the internet and a million people can see it.
Well, the whole world can watch it.
Yeah, technically the whole world can watch it. So you get more bang for your buck in the digital space. So that's why the ABC's rushing to get there, everybody else.
Here's another thing then, while you've wound me up. It's your own fault. You opened this can of worms by asking me questions. So I've got a mate of mine who lives in the UK, right? And she loves McAuliffe like I love McAuliffe. Mm-hmm. And so she went to go on iView to watch his most recent season of Mad as Hell. Can't watch iView if you're overseas.
Geo-blocked, yes.
That's dumb.
Yes.
If you want a million people to watch your TV show that you're producing, don't do that.
Maybe the ABC could look at having a streaming service or a subscription service for overseas viewers.
That would make sense.
Like a little nominal fee might help fund the ABC a bit more. We might be onto something.
No, that's a legitimate suggestion.
Yeah, because I know people overseas really struggle to see things at home unless it's posted on a platform they can get to, but those TV shows, because of licensing agreements and whatnot, does McAuliffe play on BBC? I don't know.
No, he wouldn't do.
No, okay.
But even things like, Australians who live overseas may get homesick and want to see, my parents love watching Australian Story, a little half an hour documentary that the ABC does about, they choose a random person and they do a little doco. And I'm sure there'd be a lot of Aussies overseas that would happily view that. And if they wouldn't mind paying, whether it's, Netflix is what, $10 a month?
Yep.
There's absolutely no reason in my opinion, that the ABC couldn't do something of that nature.
I'm going to send Ida Buttrose, the head of the ABC board, tomorrow an email suggesting that we do a subscription service for iView for people that are outside the geo block overseas. We'll solve this.
So getting back to more local, because that is your bag, how do we get more local content on things like ABC local radio and whatnot?
What, pitching stuff for ABC?
Why can't you do more local content, and how do we get more local content on your show and other shows?
Well, our brief at ABC radio programs is local, local, local. So generally, if we've got a major Australian story, we will localise it as best we can. Sometimes we won't even touch a huge story if it has no bearing, or it's been covered in other platforms on the news bulletins and whatnot, or current affairs shows. So our brief every day is, how can we make ABC Breakfast, ABC Mornings, ABC Drive Radio as local as possible? I mean, we go out of our way to mention suburb names, street names, people's names, because we are hyper-local, and that is our brief. So if there is that cat up the tree and someone rings the station, we'll talk about it. Don't worry about that. But we'll also cover politics, courts, and all the other issues as well.
Fantastic. Now, do you have anything exciting coming up, Tom? Is there any little things in the ABC local radio that you want to give us a bit of a teaser of anything that might be coming up?
God, you got me on the spot there. It's business as usual for us. I mean, we go to work every day, pump out 3 hours of local radio, have a quick coffee after we come off air, and then worry about tomorrow.
How hard is it to come up with those 3 hours? Like, is there days where you're like scratching around and going, oh my God, there is just nothing happening?
Yeah, that's true. Today was a little bit like that. There wasn't anything major happening. Yesterday, you know, they come at you like basketballs. They just, big stories pop up everywhere. Generally, I'll give you a quick rundown of how the day works. So at work at 4 o'clock, on air at 5. So in that first hour, you get your weather, you read your papers, you get your music loaded up, everything's sort of prepared. On air at 5, come off air at 8 o'clock in the morning, say goodbye, catch you tomorrow, have a quick coffee, sit down with your producer, have a chin wag about what you think you can do in the next 4 hours that will be timeless enough for the next day, that's not going to be scooped by somebody else. So pretty much 80% of a breakfast radio show is prepped the day before. So either you've got your talent organised for interviews, you go out and do stories in that time, and it's basically you leave a couple of holes in your show for your breaking news, so big stuff overnight or something that major that pops up in the morning. So brekkie is very much pre-prepared. Mornings, which I did this morning, is a bit looser. You can sort of see what happens in the morning and then pick the bones out of what else is left. And Drive Show, which is on air, you know, in the afternoons from 3 to 6, focuses on letting you know what happened on the Gold Coast and around the state that day.
Cool. Well, where do people go? So if they want to learn more about Tom Forbes, what can they do? Where can they go?
Oh, here we go. So
your chance to promote yourself, Tom.
Oh, my God. Well, I've got my own YouTube channel. You can go to there if you like.
What's on your YouTube channel?
I've got about 150 videos there. Oh. I do holiday videos. I don't do skits like you. I'm more holidays, family, but it's Tom Forbes GC is my handle. It's basically me and my husband having a good time. Going on holidays, you know, road testing things. But you can also find me on the ABC website. So if you go to ABC Gold Coast, I'll have a little profile piece there as well. I'm on Twitter, Tom Forbes GC, and Instagram, that's private. You can't have that one.
Oh, well, if you're going to be like that, I don't want to see your Instagram.
It's pretty boring. Unless you want to look at the food I've eaten.
Well, I don't know. All right. Well, in any case, I was just contemplating food. I like my food. I'm a big boy. I like my food. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with anything. So, Tom, thank you so much for coming in today. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Goff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, if you want to listen to this man, tune into the ABC radio. And that brings us to the end of this particular episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you rate and review and leave a friendly comment, because that's always nice. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.